saying that so much. And then I was the pitching coach with Cleveland when Gaylord Perry was there.
Yeah.
And Gaylord used to use Vaseline.
Yeah.
And they were both good.
Yeah.
Ball. Burdett threw a spitter to Tony Kubek in the World Series. And Tony was a high fastball hitter, and that ball was up in his eyes. And by the time the ball got to home plate, it hit the home plate.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And Tony followed it with his hands, and he swung and he broke the bat on home plate. That's how much that ball broke.
Yeah.
But anyway, the Yankees had quality people in every position. They had a good bench. They had good starting and relief pitching. They were a tough opponent.
I don't want to give short shrift to Henry because historically, 50 years from now, he could still be the all-time home run king. You saw him from the start of his career.
I saw Henry when he first came up. And, I never saw the ball jump off somebody's bat like his. And Hank used to look like he was asleep between pitches. But when he saw that ball, everything went in motion. And
we need to break for just 1 second. Warren, four, three, two.
We're talking about Henry Aaron, and we interrupted you. Talk about the early days with Henry. Did you know right away he was something special?
I'll tell you two stories about that, but first let me finish. I always felt that Hank had the ability to hit 400 because his power was in right center field. And all of a sudden he wanted to outdo Willie Mays and Eddie Matthews, so he started pulling more and more and more. And as a result, his batting average went down a little bit, but he started hitting home runs. And he's the greatest home run hitter in the history of baseball right now. Hank was built, the amazing thing about him, I think he had a waist of like 28 inches. And, Hank weighed about 175 pounds. But big hands, big wrists, big forearms, and I see all these people that are lifting weights in baseball today. Hell, you don't need those things. All you need is forearms and wrists. I think Ted Williams proves that. Musial proved that. And Hank. In the early years, we were playing the Dodgers, and Hank was playing center field, and a little left-handed hitter pitcher with the Dodgers was up there with the bases loaded, and he hit a little fly ball in center field, and Hank came running in for it, and the ball hit him on the tip ends of his glove and came out, and Hank didn't miss a stride, and when his left leg came up, the ball hit him in the thigh, he grabbed it barehanded, continued into our dugout. And I thought, this guy is special. Then we were playing in St. Louis and it had rained before the game so that the ground was wet and Hank was playing right field. And I think it was Marty Marion that hit the ball and hit it over Hank's head. And when he turned to run back, he slipped. And when he did, his glove hand went down to the ground. And now his back is to the infield, and he threw up his right hand to catch his balance, and the ball hit in it, and he caught it. And I thought, God gave this guy the kind of ability that he's going to do great things in baseball, and he proved that right. But he wanted to steal more bases than Willie Mays until he broke his ankle. Then the club wouldn't let him run anymore. He wanted to outdo Matthews and home runs, and he did that. I think Hank could have been a 20-game winner if he wanted to pitch. That's how good he was. And his endurance, his physique, he was a perfect ball player. If if you had to clone ball players, he might be the one to clone.
And how about Willie Mays? We haven't really asked you your view. Was he the greatest player you ever saw play?
Willie Mays got his first base hit off me.
Right.
Willie Mays got his first home run off me. Same pitch. So I realized before the rest of the league that he was going to be a good hitter. And over the years, I think Willie hit more home runs off me than anybody. He was like a cobra at the plate that he would uncoil. I saw him swing at curveballs against a right-hander that he looked absolutely stupid. And yet the ball he hit for a home run off me was a curveball. They didn't tell me that it was from a right-hander instead of a left-hander. But
you think that some people argue DiMaggio was the greatest all-around ball player. Can you rate the two of them, or is that a silly question? I mean, is there any comparison that's relevant between the two of them?
I think there were different styles. I played against Joe, but I didn't see him on a day-by-day basis. Interesting that we had a judge and jury type thing that was on television, and we had witnesses that were in favor of Mickey Mantle and witnesses in favor, it was American National League, and the witnesses for Mays. And I think we proved, and we had a supposedly unbiased jury, and we proved that Willie was a better ball player than Mickey only because of Mickey's physical problems. The fact that Mays hit right-handed, Mickey was a switch hitter. Our panel was Leo DeRocher, myself, I can't think of who else was there, but we had a biased part on our side. And also they had guys from the Yankees that said that Mickey was the better ball player. But hey, rather than choose, I'd like to have both of them.
Yeah.
Well, I know that there's a time constraint, but we don't want to forget your career. You turn around, you're the winningest left-hander. You do things at later age, things that no one could do at age 26. You pitch a no-hitter at age 40, 5 days after your birthday. Talk about your longevity and the goal, perhaps, of getting to 400 and just pushing and extending your career.
You know, after a certain period, there are goals you'd like to reach. And I think I'd like to reach for the moon and settle for whatever happens in the interim. And I feel that way about being the winningest left-hander. Number one, I work cheap.
Excuse me, we need to stop. It's rubbing.
Oh.
Sorry, great for the future.
Okay.
It sounds great, too. Well, all right, in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, we're back.
God gave me a good arm. I love playing baseball. I think I was afraid of that outside world, that I liked what I did for a living. And so as a result, I happened to win 363 games. I'm proud of that. I guess I admired Carl Hubble and Lefty Grove and those other people that were left-handed, but I happened to win more games than they did. Whitey's got the best winning percentage, but he still didn't win 363. I think you have to have challenges. And I had challenge, and I had the enjoyment of doing what I did for a living. I dreaded the time that I was told I couldn't play anymore. And mind you, I was traded from the Braves in Milwaukee to the Mets. And my ego said I could win with the Mets as well as the Braves. When I got there, I found out differently. We found a different way to lose every day when I was with the Mets. And I finished my career with San Francisco. And Chubb Feeney was the general manager. And he called me after I got home and he wanted me to come to spring training without a contract. And I said, wait a minute, Chubb, what are you talking about now? And I said, would I go for the minimum salary? And, you know, I'd already established my salary. And he said, yeah. And I said, well, if I make the club, I'd embarrass you. And if I didn't make it, I'd embarrass me. And I was 44. And I decided I was going to find out what baseball was like other places. And then I managed the club here for 5 years in AAA, and I loved that. And then I was the pitching coach at Cleveland for 2 years. I hated that. I was a pitching coach as well as a player with the Mets in New York. And I went to Japan for 5 spring trainings to try to teach their coaches our way of pitching. And when I came back from there, I worked for the California Angels for 3 years. And I was a roving pitching coach. And I was in Idaho Falls, Idaho, one summer. I said, what am I doing here? You know, this is not where I want to be. And I decided to get out of baseball. And when I did, I found out what that other world was like. And it's not all that bad. And so I think my retirement, if you will, or separation from baseball was gradual. And I think when it came, I was ready for it. I think I worked in baseball until 1981. And I had made some pretty good investments, you know, during that time, that I had a way of earning a living, number one, and staying active in those things other than baseball. So the transition was pretty easy for me, but I can appreciate anybody that loves the game, how hard it must be to leave the game. And, you know, the guys in the front line, they've got the best of it, but how about the guys that are the 25th man on the roster that maybe gets in the game 5 times a year or whatever? Can't be much fun for those people.
Warren, I want to take you back to the no-hitter against the Giants when Dark was managing toward the end of your career. And the thing that struck me about it was how you and he as friends were competing until the last batter. My recollection is the story was the last batter bunted, and you made a hell of a play. Can you talk about that? I'm interested in the fact that the two of you thought it was really important for him to try to break up that no-hitter, whatever.
Cole, let's go back. I believe that's the game that Sad Sam Jones pitched against me. And we scored an earned run off of him in the first inning. So basically, I had to match what he did. I realized that anybody got on base was a potential run. Alvin put Alou up to hit against me, Matty, and he could run, and I kind of suspected he might try to bunt. And he laid a bunt down the first baseline.
On the first pitch, I think, wasn't it?
I think it was. And the only way I could feel that ball is go directly to the ball, and I didn't have time to turn and throw. So I fielded the ball and tossed it sidearm to Adcock, which happened to be a good throw, and got him. And yeah, I can attribute Alvin Dark for that. I remember the last ball hit was a ground ball to Logan. And the ball took a funny hop and hit Logan in the chest. And he picked it up and threw it to first. And he made a low throw, and Adcock made a great play to make that out. And, you know, I didn't think I was a no-hitter pitcher before. Then I